Should we go ahead and call this to order? I would like to call to order the Administrative Control Board meeting for Mountain Regional Water. It's August 15th, 2024 at 6:03. Andy, do we have to go into executive session?
Yes.
Okay. And we have a motion to go into executive session?
Motion to enter into an executive session to talk about
potential legal.
Legal.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, Mike. That's unanimous. Okay. Now we're on to the consent agenda. Does anyone have any changes to the meeting minutes? Okay. Any questions on the check register?
I have one. The Woodland water line warranty that's associated with all the digging on Woodland Drive. That difference, same?
Yeah, it's part of that continued water sewer roadway project.
Looks like that project failed. There's a lot of rework done of something that was dug up last summer.
Yeah, the water lines are working pretty well.
Okay. Which part aren't? Like, what's the...
There's some significant settling with the roadway. Okay. And I think it's this nature of saturated groundwater, really challenging work environment. So those things are being covered in warranty and repaired.
Okay, currently. We're not liable for that.
No.
Okay.
And then that invoice is with EDM Partners, our civil engineer on the project, consulting engineer. And they're putting in a big effort kind of managing this warranty period. Okay. So it's coming out of the general engineering services budget for the year, but it is tied to the Woodland project.
We use that warranty process on the contractor. Like, I'm assuming this is partially the contractor that did the work, or is this just ground conditions in that area?
It's a question of workmanship versus environment?
Yeah.
It's probably a little bit of both, right?
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Okay, I'm good.
Okay. Does that warranty cover our costs associated with EDM?
No, those can be split among the parties, the Summit County and Centerville Basin, but we haven't discussed. I honestly don't know, Mike, if we have a way to collect those as part of our front-end documents, part of the construction specs, the front end of the spec. I'd have to look. But
okay.
That's interesting. That's something we could look at adding to future projects.
Okay.
Any other questions on the check register? I know you'll be surprised to know I have a few.
I didn't have a whole lot on the list, so let's see.
Oh, okay. So I saw that we had an arbitrage rebate check that we paid $3,000 for, so I would assume that, do we know how much the arbitrage was?
The rebate was a bit of a misnomer in the class. They it's whether you have to pay it.
Okay.
The $3,000 is for the service by the arbitrage attorneys to go back and make sure you don't have to. So that was just their fee to do the work.
Okay.
But we were following.
Okay.
It was not the 25
feet on. No. I missed that. I saw that, but I didn't make a note of it, but I saw
it. All right. Then we had weed abatement for $4,100. Is that everywhere? Or?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And then the Nickerson pump repair, where was that?
Summit Well Park 5. It's actually, that's a bring well back to life as a capital
okay.
project. So it's not just repair, it's actually a capital project.
Okay. And then we had a Lost Canyon seal water with electro power for $15,000.
Seal water redundancy project.
What's seal water? Okay. Okay. And then the asphalt patch is what you were just talking about, right? The preferred paving?
No, I was the EDM warranty.
Oh.
But yeah, that's...
We had $4,000 in preferred paving?
Yeah.
And I was curious where.
Red Hawk.
About 400 square feet, and then there was smaller ones, only about 50 feet.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't. Yeah.
No, that's okay. And then we had two payments to Summit County Health. Is that just like 2 months worth that just kind of landed?
It's $37,000
a month. Yeah. Yeah, I've never seen it both in the same month. And then we had a spare F-150 grill. Did we go through a lot of grills? So the F-150 was spare, not the grill.
Yes. We call those our spare trucks. The ones that seasonals use or fill in when one's in shop.
And then Dixon Richens spent $350 at Best Buy. I just was curious what he bought. And then Jake McCormick had $245 worth of ghost controls. I didn't know what that was.
Was Dixon's charge at Best Buy?
Yeah, I'd like to ask about the Granger charge from Dixon. I looked up that one. That's a chemical metering pump.
Oh.
But let's see, what's this Dixon for 350?
Oh, you said Best Buy?
Yeah, Best Buy. And then Ryan Williams had something called Thero Real Truck for $424.
Okay, I'll look into those.
Okay.
Those, the Ryan Williams and the Best Buy, are those the two that?
Yeah, the two. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I can pull up the receipt and look exactly what was purchased.
Okay. Okay, and that's all I had on the check register. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda per discussed and Steve promised to check on all the chart.
Okay, do we have a second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, unanimous. And we're on to you, Steve.
All right. I wasn't able to get our kind of standard financial summary completed. I was out of town, so that's why it was a little late and not in the packet. The year continues strong. We are now $1.3 million revenue. Water sales, which we'll talk about a little bit later, there's $657,000 over budget. And then and we're still earning 5.4% APTIF. So we're making a lot of money off of interest income. Expenses also continue below budget. Interest, even though those numbers got bigger, as a percentage, we're coming back closer to budget. The variance is less as a percentage.
Okay.
And so you'll see the water sales, you know, significantly above Cromford Raw Water, above. Obviously, everybody's using a little more water this year. Development-related collections, I'll talk really quickly. Impact fees have lowered, but not by as much as $70,000 for the budget. In July, we only collected. That's usually one of our big ones, well over $100,000. So we've seen a drop in that.
And that doesn't include this trailside stuff.
No, see, that doesn't include that yet. And we do have some big ones outstanding. There's a home in the colony that's got an $80,000 impact fee. We just signed the center, has the impact fee. And where's the other one?
High Valley.
So we'll get some. We'll be fine for budget this year, but the normal roll of homes, new construction, is not the same as what it has been. Other revenue, that's where the interest income. That's my little thing.
Let's go down to the
table. So the expenses, operations, maintenance, repairs, we definitely did have a kick up in operating costs. One of those is power. As we're obviously selling more water, we're having to use more power. So power is basically right or really close to budget. And so it's about coming down a little bit as a percentage. And I talk about the non-OMR, that's pretty, that's a very efficient enough, and that's pretty good. And the next.
Steve, I didn't understand that. It looks like the power, the operations was actually 3.8, but the budget was 4.2.
Oh, yeah. So the budget is that's for all of operations. So all of operations were below budget, but power, if you broke it out just specifically itself, it's right on budget.
Okay.
We're not having the savings in power. It's other categories.
Gotcha.
Okay. Cash, we're 39 million. Obviously about 18 million of that is the restricted cash to build the building. The two big variances that you kind of used to seeing, so, or will in the coming months, the debt reserves held by trustee, that's all the transfers we make to the bond so that we can make the payments in December. And then the $490,000 coming out of other restricted cash, that's drawing out of the bond because it comes from restricted cash. We can only use that for building the building. So pretty good, though, that everything else stays the same. That's because we're having good collections because of summer water extension. Let's go ahead and go down to the next table. Customer growth. So at call last month, we were 54. We're only 60 now. So we only had. Sorry. Is that me?
Try again.
Try now. We're at 60 now for the year. So we had six people come in with new requests. So we're back to definitely pre-pandemic and lower than last year on new requests. And you can see the impact fees, 562. That's where it's still above budget, but not nearly like what we were. An interesting number on this is the 16 lots sold by promontory did not change. I don't have that a lot was sold of promontory during the
year. I don't either.
So, yeah. Which is kind of an anomaly. They usually at least pump out one or two, let's say. So, kind of that trend, like what's happening with growth and development. So that'll be an interesting topic as we finish the year and budget for next year. All right, let's go down to the next. Usage, July was hot and dry, if you don't recall. And so our customers did use quite a bit of water, 425 acre feet in the little purple. So that's about 20% up from the 4-year average. As you kind of remember last month, we talked about we've had about 18% growth. So basically, customer used about the same amount of water this July as they did July in 2020. It's just we have more customers, if that makes sense. And then let's go ahead and scroll down just a little bit. An interesting number to look at. So if you look at 2020, the top line there, so MRW customers used 1146 acre feet, and Summit Water, we had to wheel 660 acre feet to them. So you look at that as kind of culinary water, you know, about 1800 acre feet through the year to date at that point in time. If you look at 2024, the 1151, so a little bit more for us, but we're not having to wheel as much to Summit Water. So as you recall over the years, it was always kind of this plan, as we wheeled less to Summit Water, it's because we would be using it. So the plan's kind of playing out how we thought. It's still going to hurt when we don't make any money off of the regionalization water at some point in time, but at least we're kind of backfilling with our own revenue.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and scroll down to the next table. Blue line is where we kind of inspect, I mean, with the growth and the rate increase, we knew it'd be higher. Then you throw the usage on top of it, and that's why it is our highest revenue month ever.
Wow.
July.
So. Ever.
Wow.
Yeah. Because we were basically paid quarterly. That's kind of a different. This is just our own water sales, let's say. And then scroll down, and you can kind of see where the variance is. In residential, and that's kind of across the board, large residential, normal size residential, everything was just kind of up with the heat. An interesting thing, schools actually were down a little bit. They didn't use quite as like the others, but industrial, obviously the irrigation and golf irrigation and Park City, we're not sending as much water to them as last year or even as we maybe would have thought. In standby fees, if you recall, that had been running a little bit lower than that. We've been missing budget by more. The thing that helped this month is we had somebody come in and pay a restrictive covenant where they said, I'm not going to build. So we stop charging standby fees, and then they come back years later and say, oh, I do want to build. And so they have to pay back all those standby fees they were avoiding, plus some interest. So that was about $6,000 we collected there. So that's why it's a little closer to the normal budgeted number. And I think that's it for the report. So any questions, any thoughts?
The $350 was for a printer at Lost Canyon at Best Buy.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. All right. I've included in your packet, I try to cover cash every month, but there's a requirement that every 6 months I put a more detailed report in there. The interest income and the good operating revenue has helped lead to the increase in cash since the end of the year. You can see where we keep our funds. Basically, the $38 million plus is all invested in the PTIF, either directly by us or by our bond trustee. Let's go down a little bit more. Probably see numbers again. There we go. So our operating cash is staying pretty constant, between what we keep in the operating reserves and kind of our own reserves for repair and replace stays. So that's a good sign that it's holding, we're not having to really dip into that too much. Let's go ahead and scroll down a little more. We have been able to, there's kind of a requirement to spend impact fees. We have started to bring that impact fee balance down through some of the projects we've completed. So you see in December 2021, we were at 7.1 or at 6.1. A lot of that decreases because we're being able to spend impact fees. Now with the treatment plant and the 224 interconnect, we're going to take another big chunk out of those impact fees. So we have to spend those within 6 years, but we're on a nice pace to be able to spend all those impact fees we got during COVID.
Okay. Wait, can I ask you a question? Yeah. I had a question about the impact fees of $981,000. But then the total amount was closer to 1.3. What's the other 230,000? Is that from the rate stabilization fund or?
Let's just scroll down a little bit more. Probably, let's at least you have to top your head. I'm drawing a blank.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you discussed it on the page kind of like, too, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like the assessments and things like that with Promontory. Some of those fluctuate a little bit. So it's not just impact fees, it's kind of other things that are restricted to in that way.
Okay.
Construction cash. That first part, that's the bonds. That's the escrow, let's say, where we're depositing it. And it's always higher in the middle of the year because we're depositing so that we can make the big payments at the end of the year. So that's why the December balances are always lower than what you see in the middle of the year. Construction cash, that old 293, that was old community water money. When that was still in construction cash. So we drew it out, we didn't have any, now we've drawn the Series 2023 bond, and now we're spending that. So that's that category. Other cash, it's almost all customer deposits. The $1,500 they put on, you see we've dropped it by quite a bit from the end of the year, over $100,000. This is a lot of work from Anna's team, following up, getting everything finalized.
All those covers.
All those covers, inspections, all that kind of stuff. And today, Andy can attest, we signed about 45 checks more, so that's continuing to come down. So it just means that everybody's finishing their projects. That's good. It's kind of weird to be holding $1 million for the customer's money, So I don't mind that coming down a little bit. All right, and I think that's pretty close. The rest is the detail if you're an accountant and you really want to look at that. Of where that cash is all being held that I summarized up above.
I love your report, Steve.
Thank you, Karen. I appreciate that very much.
I was so excited to find out we were going to see the July numbers, but I thought we were going to have to wait until next
time. Just a little tease, I don't know if I'm going to have the auditor request, we will be sending out because we got that extension last year. As I mentioned, they can bid again if they choose to, but that'll be going out in September, so we have plenty of time before the year ends and things like that. The last news, this was just the last couple of weeks we've been working with Fitch. They asked a lot of questions. We answered a lot of questions. So we maintain an AA rating, which is a really good rating. They did change us from having a positive outlook to a stable, which is still basically the same rating. They're just saying, you're kind of stabilized in an AA. The reason for that is we have talked to them or disclosed to them we're going to be borrowing again for the treatment plan. Last year, it was kind of like we're not sure on the timing of it or things like that, but we put in numbers, gave them all of that. So it's kind of like we borrowed to buy a car this year to build the building, and now we're saying we're going to borrow to build a house. So they're saying, that's okay. You have plenty of room to borrow. Maybe hold there for a little while. So, but the AA is still a very respectable rating for us to have. All right. Yeah, I'm done.
Steve, I had a question on the Fitch document there. On the bottom of page 4, it said that there were no detectable levels of PFAS.
Or I have to say, they pulled some information from somewhere that I didn't get them. So they referenced it somewhere else. In their
I'm Kevin, have a hard time hearing. You're kind of breaking up.
Oh, we're getting some feedback from
me.
Yep. What about now, Mike?
He's muted.
Just give a thumbs up. Yeah. Okay. Good.
I didn't personally give that information to Fitch. They pulled that from somewhere. I did not have a chance to chase down where they pulled that. I mean, we've talked about things in our audited financials and bond disclosures, but I don't talk about that much. Is there like a website where we're reporting or having to say stuff?
I'm not sure, but the other thing that could have happened is that was true.
Okay.
Like a year ago.
Okay.
So maybe we did provide them a blurb. And at the time we did have no detectable levels of PFAS in the inlet water sources. We did a comprehensive panel, which has since changed.
Okay.
So maybe that's
it was just investigative.
Right. When we took upon ourselves to do the investigative sampling prior to the UCMR5 rule, we didn't get a single detection.
We'll make sure we follow up because we do this every year and just make sure they have correct information while we're finding the PFAS. Then. Yeah. Good catch, Mike. Good luck. Thanks for reading all through that.
Okay. Any other questions for Steve? Okay, Sam, you're up.
Our typical quarterly update for the capital projects. Things have been going pretty well over the summer. Again, we don't have any significant bid projects this year that would qualify for our tier one under these categories. The tier two projects are both betterments that are tied to greater promontory projects. We've been talking about these for over a year now. And the Sage Hills Estates project, which allows us to bring water out of promontory into the greater distribution system in Atkinson, is finished, completed, and accepted by the district. And Brian's been using it through peak season.
Great.
And experimenting with it. So that all turned out really nice. We had our normal kind of startup hiccups and issues, but Brian's crew worked through everything and got it up and functional so far. So again, it was a promontory budgeted project, so no changes to the budget, but spent 100%. Here's a look at the interior of the building with the control valves, new SCADA panel. There's a little exterior look. It turned out pretty nice. Yep. We, of course, don't really care what the building looks like, but promontory did a good job.
Have you seen that? It's right across from kind of the short porch area of the house.
See, I don't feel like I have seen it, but
it's a good thing.
I was just there. Yeah. I don't recall seeing
it. It's right in.
Yeah, it's so nice. Yeah, I'm glad to get that wrapped up. The second project we don't have much of an update on. Promontory has finalized their new alignment to get egress to Browns Canyon Road out the south end of Promontory. and we've seen a preliminary set of plans and provided comments. So we're going to pursue a similar concept with upsizing and extending a water line out to Browns Canyon Road. But as far as a hard budget number, don't have any good updates there. But yeah, still working through it. We'll get the design finalized and Promontory will bid it, and we'll see the budget number, and then elect whether we want to move forward with the project or not. So our biggest effort of the year continues to be the project at Old Ranch. Still working through procurement on the generator. We're still kicking electrical completion out till next year. Just with procurement and lead times, it's not going to be realistic to finish by the end of this year. The surge improvements and the mechanical improvements can be completed by the end of this year, and that's what we're working towards. So we've got a surge tank designed and in production for the suction side of the pump station. And we're switching both surge tanks over to a nitrogen-based system, which we utilize elsewhere in the district and works really well in the operations folks like it. The mechanical improvements are largely finished. There's one control valve we need to retrofit, but the parts to do so are on order. And then we have completed the paving and access project to actually get us a paved parking area for two trucks outside the pump station. So that turned out nice. I'll get a picture of that for next packet. It was done after I put this together.
Sweet. Maybe you can put the spare 150 out there.
Yeah. Here's some prep work before the paving's going in. You can see on the back, this is the back of the pump station to the north of Old Ranch Road, I suppose. And here's the bulk liquid nitrogen tank vaporizer. And then the pressure from this tank is going to go to both surge tanks, and they'll have an independent regulator and operate independently. But the bulk pressure still comes from source, which is pretty slick.
Those tanks are okay out in the elements?
Yeah, absolutely. We have two others that are...
makes it easy.
We'll throw a shutter over the top of that.
Yeah. Lost.
Oh, okay. At some point.
The way the roof is, we'll go with shutter, but yeah, it's us.
Yeah.
And we're going to screen it from the street view, too, because we don't want people to roll back there playing with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
It'll be fenced.
But Lost Canyon's tank, for example, is totally exposed to the elements sitting over the surge tank. So yeah, that's a cool kind of mountain regional twist back from Doug's days. Sump Equal 2 got that project completed. I'm not 100% sure we have every invoice in, but I think we're pretty close. I gave a budget update on this one. I think we're looking good on budget. Spent about $150,000. We had $200,000 set aside. And that well's also online, been utilized for peak season.
Right?
Yeah.
Consistent
60
gallons an hour.
Wow. No, it's not bad.
That's awesome.
So here's the vault above ground over in the Sun Peak area. There's a mountain bike trail coming through. I don't even know what that is. And then here's the kind of retrofitted SCADA panel again. That should look familiar. Mm-hmm. Down in the well vault. The well head's out of the picture frame on me. We're putting some rehab effort. You know, chipping away at our wells, being more proactive with that the last 3 years in Summit Park on well 2 and well 5. Well 2 and well 5, we haven't leaned on as much recently, but last year, as part of the tank project, we really had to utilize those sources to kind of keep Summit Park stable. And after doing so, doing some rehab work, Summit Park well 5 is going to stay as kind of emergency only well, but we'll keep it active and ready to go from a regulatory standpoint and everything else. Park well 2, I think Brian wants to lean on that one a little bit harder. It's a better well overall. So we plan on doing some SCADA improvements. Again, we hope to get this done by the end of the year so we can operate remotely off the transducer like we do the rest of our main production wells. This one's currently running hand, right, Brian?
Yeah.
But neither of those make big water, do they?
No, it's on Park well 5. We might get 100 gallons a minute out of it, but the water quality kind of crappy. It's a blend a little bit, and then Smart Park well 2, we're in the process of flushing it right now. It's rated to do 75. It's a little bit better quality, but we're in the process of flushing that right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, in addition to well 7, those are the three main wells in Sutton Park. And well 2 and 7 combined, probably for the most part, can supply the demands for the two upper pressure zones in Sutton Park. The lowest pressure zone in Sutton Park, zone 1, is the biggest area also, so that has the most.
I would worry about the utility pump station getting hit on I-80, so we'd be out of water in Sutton Park, so this is self-sufficiency here.
Yeah. And then the last one, just another kind of operational upgrade to the lot. Oh, no, I have another one under. Second last one, operational upgrade to the Lost Canyon line, putting in this isolation valve. We've kind of been talking about this every update. Still have it scheduled for November. We've been keeping all our partners in the loop. So no real updates there. And the other paving project we've got going on is out at the Solar Creek tank and pump station. And we have a completed design. We're waiting on we solicited 2 different bids from paving contractors. I'm going to see where those end up and hopefully get that done before the paving deadline, targeting before October 15th. I think we can get this one done too. So yeah, that's all the projects in the snapshot.
Great.
It's a lot of stuff.
It is a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's coming along.
And you're still feeling supported in your role with Jessica coming on?
Jess is doing great. Yeah, she's really sharp. She's good to work with.
Jess and Stacy and Sam make a great engineering team.
It's awesome.
Jess has been heavily involved in the bench testing at the treatment plant.
We saw the pictures.
Yeah, to the point where she's taking time off because she needs to decompress.
No, I'm glad you said something about that, though. But no, the girl of books and Jess put and Brand, everybody, all the treatment staff, put in 3 weeks of really flat out hard effort of bench testing up there. And I was really impressed with the Corolla folks, but they wouldn't have done it. They couldn't have hit their schedule without Jess's help.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she pulled a lot of weight for that.
And then Stacy, you know, on the project side, this is her peak, you know, she's wrapping up her peak season.
Yeah.
But she does a really great job as well. So both of those additions to the engineering department have been very beneficial to the district.
Absolutely. Do we have anything? Maybe we don't have anything in here for the solar, right?
So I sent everybody a save the date of September 26th at 10 o'clock. Formal invitations will be going out. We have invited, we put the county council also on notice that that's the date. We are trying to coordinate with Rocky Mountain Power because of limited parking up at the treatment plant, where we'll have people park at the Rocky Mountain Power, unless you live in Promontory.
Yeah, I'll hike up there.
That live over here, park over here at the Rocky Mountain Power facility, and then we're working with High Valley to shuttle people up. It should be, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes. There's a lot of interest from the contractor, Ameresco, Rocky Mountain Power. I think we'll see a lot of press and publicity on this. I've contacted Congressman Blake Moore's office to let them know, since the goal is to get infrastructure, IRA money, as well as Rocky Mountain Power Blue Sky money. So we've had 2 meetings with the entire group for the planning, and the next one's in 2 weeks, Lisa. So hopefully invitations will go out for the end of this month, beginning of next month, but I wanted to get it on people's calendar. I think it's really exciting. On the Electron, the partnership with the county and the other providers, we're still working through getting those bills. We have not been billed yet for our participation. I talked to Emily Quinton from the county the other day. I don't know what the problem is, and maybe that we just get one lump sum bill at some point in the near future, but the goal is to have them send it to us monthly.
Yeah.
So that will be happening.
But great. So that's the solar array update as well?
Yes.
Okay. Any other comments from you?
Not on the solar array.
On the new office?
On the new office. In the packet, I've included pictures. These are now dated, but this is the shop.
Yep.
To the left-hand side is the wash bay that that dirt in the middle and that line in the middle of that, that's the drain. And then you see the drain running right and left in the middle of the bays. The footings and foundation for that are being formed. There was a small pour there today. The other pour will happen next week. You go down to the next. Kind of gives you a perspective of the size. It's probably not the best one. Go to the next one. That's the administration. That one there shows you kind of the layout of the administration building. To the left will be the conference room. You see those four little squares. That will be the patio pergola area. And then, you can see the layout of the building. Can you go down? That kind of gives you a better perspective of the two. Keep going. That kind of just gives you a site perspective with High Valley in the background, and how you'll notice on the left-hand side, our fence, that lower reddish dirt area is going to be the material storage, pipe storage area. You actually go over there, it looks a lot bigger than I think we anticipated, but it will be a great addition to the district. So there's other pictures. I'll continue to provide these to you to see progress. If you're ever interested in doing an actual site visit, just let me know. Hard hats, closed-toed shoes, steel-toe preferred, high-vis are required to go on site over there, but it's something that we can easily do. Steve, Chris, Brian, and myself, we have a weekly meeting with Oakland. At the end of this packet is the payout for July. The first change order for the waterproofing of the building was in there. It's about $10,000. The other thing was there was a little snafu between the contractor and responding some of the detailed questions that the steel fabricator needed. So we missed our window on steel production for the administration building. I was told that would be a $100,000 change order. And I said, not my fault. You guys figure it out. And the cost, so it's not that the materials cost more, it's just that Oakland would need to be on site 35 additional days to finish the project. They have given us a pass on charging us the $100,000, so Oakland stood up. Really wasn't their fault. And so I really appreciate Oakland for doing that. So that right now is off the table.
Wow.
So
fantastic.
Yeah. Kudos to Oakland. So instead of having a September finish date, we're now being pushed into October 2025, but they are committed to be done on time and on budget. So any questions on?
I love that pay apps come with pictures now. Like I looked through that and I was like, wow, that's awesome. Just the, now everybody's got a drone,
Yeah. So I'll continue to provide that picture and the financial detail. And that's all I have.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions on the department updates?
I do not.
I had a question on Sam's report. You had that picture in there that with the last, there was that last photo in there that had like the clean water and then the yellow water that actually had stuff growing out of it. So is that like the raw water versus the clean water, or?
Yeah, so these are jarred tests.
Uh-huh.
It's called, and what they're doing is testing different coagulants. So the goal is to put these like positively charged metal salts in the water to create flock and get particles to come together, so they're easily filtered or settled out. So this is changes color. That's got to be ferric chloride. So that's like a iron-based metal salt that's causing the color change, and then. That I thought was a really good picture of what good flocculation looks like.
Okay.
So when you get particles to actually consolidate via those metal salts, that's kind of what you're looking for. So they put different concentrations, of course, different conditions, and they can change the mixing energy between the jars and then do all kinds of science stuff.
So the mixing energy is just the
Yeah, see what kind of intensity works best, see what length works best, see what dosage works best, see at what part of the process you want to add different chemicals.
So the yellow is actually what we wanted, not like...
Yeah, that's fairly typical for like a high dose, ferric addition. We typically never use iron-based coagulants. We use aluminum-based ones because they play better with the membranes for the most part. So I'm actually kind of interested to see how that plays out with the Grolo folks. But
yeah.
More conventional filter, conventional treatment plants generally use the default is ferric just because it's effective and it's cheap.
Yeah.
But for us, we've never used it.
And that's their bench testing.
No, that's Brandt's machine. And this is Mikal. She's one of the engineers from Corolla. She's been really good to work with.
Corolla will be presenting next month.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. That's just outside of Brandt's office there.
All right. Anything else, guys?
On the board timeline, I'm showing a retreat in 2 weeks.
Hey, I had one for Brian on kind of the, you know, it sounds like everything's, all the sources and boosters are working pretty hard. You know, what are we, 95% capacity or how tight is it?
Well, it's not that bad. I bet maybe 75. We are pumping hard. Some areas are getting more than we've ever seen, like Colony, for instance. They've been moving a ton of water up the hill. Promontory has been moving a ton of water, so it's kind of opening some of the areas that we've never seen the use like we've had this year. Wells, we're trying to manage the wells so we're not running them too hard, but we've had to push them this last week pretty hard. But as it winds down, I'll back them off.
But we're continuing to monitor water levels.
Yeah. I totally monitor that and think what happens when it's all back up.
Is that your responsibility?
I control more of my fucking cycles there.
Okay. They're watching the levels.
Right.
Cool. And what is that?
Brian makes the whole thing work.
Right.
Makes it all kind of, are you sleeping at night?
I'll make sure I sleep at night now.
So we do have a board retreat scheduled in September. One of the original thoughts was try to do a solar array and board retreat at the same time. I don't know what people's schedule is to dedicate more time to doing a board retreat. We've restarted going through some of our policies, which we'll be bringing to the board. We had, you know, last year when we did the board retreat, we had some major topics of the building, the treatment plant. We don't have as many big items. We're still working on succession planning. We're working on the RFP for the asset management. Those responses are due on the 27th of this month. That'll be awarded. So a lot of the things that we talked about during the last board retreat, we're working on now, and they're not completed. We can have a longer evening board meeting and go into depth on some of these other things. Strategic plan.
I think I'll defer to William, whatever the staff wants to do. I'll make myself available.
Me too. But September 1st, I wasn't going to be here either. And it's a Sunday.
Oh, we can't meet then.
And so and the 19th of September is the next.
Correct. Yeah. So we're going to have
I'm going to miss that meeting.
All right.
call Joel.
Yeah, I don't.
Make sure you call Joel.
I don't know if anyone has seen Joel, but we can either start a little earlier one night and go over some of these things. Like I said, next month we will have Parolo. We're going to bring our asset management policy to you, which is a two-page document with definitions. We started reviewing administrative policy today. Whatever the pleasure of the board is.
If it's easier to convene the staff during the day, do it during the day. That's my position.
Yeah, I mean, it would be the same staff to come, so.
Sure. But.
Why don't we just leave it then, doing it the evening of the 19th? Yeah. And you're gone?
Where are you going?
No reception.
Peru?
That's the best place to be on a river. Free time.
Well, so you're going to miss the Corolla.
I didn't realize it till right now. Sorry. Yeah.
So, October 17th?
That's usually pretty heavy budget.
My favorite. Oh, see, I had us on the 24th. Why did I have us on the 24th?
It is.
It is, well,
yeah.
Oh, it's the 4th?
Because we pushed 24th. Because of the budget.
Good on that one.
I'm just wondering, do you want to be there for Corolla?
I would like to see that, but I don't want to hold it up if they need a board opinion on that thing.
Try and provide you something ahead of time, too.
I'm willing to come in and, yeah, check stuff out. Yeah, I don't want to hold up progress on their side.
I will say, and it's not etched in stone, but Corolla has come up with some really good thoughts that potentially could save us $8 to $10 million on the numbers that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Maybe not eight, maybe 5 or 6. Because the numbers that we provided to fit.
You can't say $10 million and they got 5 or 6.
Because they charge 3 to 5 to disclose the ideas.
Yeah, no, we're working on getting a pump and we're going to try to implement some of their methods ahead of time. We don't have all the results of the bench testing yet, but the things that they have found already are impressive. And if we start implementing some of these things, it could have an effect on how we operate and not need to physically expand the space. We might be able to repurpose some of the spaces, which should save us some money.
It's hectic.
So far, Rolo, I think, is, I mean, they've been great. So, some of the things that we'll have to wait for this irrigation season and everything to slow down before we can try some other things, but. We'll try to get you something ahead of time and then we can review it. So we'll just stick the way we are in September. We'll hold off on some policies and stuff in October.
Bless you.
By the time we get that written meetings of that as a group.
Okay.
If we don't have anything else, we would like a motion to adjourn, maybe.
Motion to adjourn at 7:25 p.m.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, so we're adjourned at 7:25.